Well, tonight's calling in the lost, and we will do our confessions. We will call in the lost. And I don't know all that we're going to do tonight, but I know that God's got a plan. And I'm going to do my very best to follow the Holy Spirit. I feel Him keeping me really close, if you know what I mean. So I think He has some things to say and maybe some things to do, and we're going to let Him do what He does. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I believe I'm just going to share a little bit from my heart, and we're going to go from there and see where He takes us. You know, we're living right now in a time where we have so many facts that you can't keep up with it. We have facts, and we got fact checkers, and we got checkers to check those facts, and we got alternative facts, got internet facts, you got things that aren't on the internet facts, you got things that are going to be taken down if you don't read it now facts, all kinds of things available to us. And in many times, the church is just as quick as the world to jump on those facts, to get their fix. What's happening now in the world? What's happening today in my country? What did this newscaster say, or that newscaster say, or what did my favorite, you know, where did my favorite channel, what did they say today? We're so easily distracted. And all the time, there's a truth that we all have, that God is trying, He's continually bringing us in closer and closer and closer. And He's trying to get us more focused and more focused and more focused. And no matter what the rest of the body is doing, we have instructions and we have a mission in this place. And we cannot allow the enemy to distract us and take us off course, because we have been told we're at war. There's going to be friends, family members. There's going to be people that we love that aren't going to understand. They maybe don't realize that we're at war. And I don't think it's necessarily our job to tell them. But it is our job to listen to our commander. It is our job to listen to the truth of what He's speaking, and to allow His truth to supersede any fact that's going on in my life. So it doesn't matter. It's not that it doesn't matter is the wrong phrase, but whatever the fact is, the truth is unchanged. Facts change all the time, as we've learned, especially this year in our nation. Facts change continually, but the truth is the same, always, always. So, I believe God is putting us in a place where we have to make a decision whether we're going to follow the facts that are around us, or we're going to follow the truth that He has given us. The truth that He's given us in His Word, the truth that He's given us in prophecy, the truth that we have as a foundation. Are we going to walk on that foundation, or are we going to be swayed by all of the distractions that are going on around about us? You know, I remembered this week our pastor, Dave Roberson, and the things that he used to say, you know, in dealing with stress and all the things that come at you. He says, some of you just fly apart like a cheap clock. See, we have a decision. Are we going to fly apart like a cheap clock? Or are we going to continue in what God has given us to continue in? Right now, I work a full-time job. And I'm off of work right now because of a condition in my back. And I had a really difficult time with this. At first, for a long time, I didn't even really like to give this testimony because I almost felt like it was a failure or incomplete. And I don't believe God does anything incomplete. I think when he does it, it's done, it's completed, it's finished. It's the end. But I'm going to tell you, years ago, probably, I would say probably at least 18 years ago, I was here at the prayer center. And my son, Solomon, who's sitting back there, he was about 3 years old. And I bent down to pick him up, and my back went out. I was in my 20s, you know. This happened to me before, picking up something heavy or whatever, but this wasn't heavy. This was just a bad situation. I didn't know what happened, and I figured it would get better, but it didn't. It got a lot worse. And for over a year, I would wake up almost every single night and sometimes almost in tears, crawling out of my bed, trying to find some type of relief from the pain. It would go down my leg and my foot would be numb and it just, but I pressed through it. Again, I was in my 20s, so I didn't want to think that anything could stop me. And so I pressed through that and I continued to go to work. I continued to do whatever needed to be done because I felt like that was, you know, the way I was showing my faith, maybe, or I don't know. I just knew that it had to be done, and I continued to do it. We had several people in the church pray for me. Pastor David prayed for me. Donna had prayed for me. I've been praying. My family's praying. We're trusting God the best that we know how. I believe it was a Sunday. I was sitting over here on the, over by where we would sit with the outreach people. And I remember that Pastor Dave came down off of the steps and he said, "Hans, this is it." And I stood up and walked up there and I probably got about 5 feet away from Pastor Dave and everything left. All of the pain, everything was gone. I could sit down, I could put my foot out in front of me. I wasn't even able to do that because there was something, I don't know what it was, but restricting my leg from being pressed out straight. But God, he healed me. I mean, absolutely gone. 100% healed. I went back to my seat. And as I sat down, there was a pain in my lower back. And I thought, no, this can't be. And this might mess with somebody's doctrine. It kind of, it did mess with my doctrine. But the Lord said, he says, "You got healed on Dave Roberson's faith." He said, "I'm wanting you to walk this out in your faith." So, honestly, from that day forward, I got better, a lot better. I never woke up in the middle of the night with that kind of pain. I never had that type of pain again. I had a small pain in my lower back, and it would come and go, and I just trust in the Lord. It's going to be great. You know, it's going to be fine. And that continued on for many, many years, and I guess I'm still walking it out in my faith. But you know, something that I realized this time as I woke up a couple weeks ago with a pain in my back again, it wasn't nearly as bad as that one. And I've had it before. And normally I would get up and just say, "I'm going to work. Body, you're going to take me there. Let's go." And I would do that. I'd go through that. But somehow I knew, and I believe it was the Holy Ghost, just, "No, we're not doing that this time. And you're not going to do that ever again. Because we're going to get this taken care of and it's going to be done." So, it's really interesting because the fact is, there's something wrong with my back. The fact is, there's a condition in my back that causes all kinds of symptoms that when I look it up, I don't have those symptoms. So, that the fact is that there's a lot of things that should be going wrong in my body that aren't going wrong. But see, the truth is I'm healed. And so I can talk about it as a matter of fact without it affecting my faith because I know the truth. You see, the truth always supersedes fact. I'm not going to walk around talking about what this condition does because it doesn't matter what it does. Because I'm healed. And see, I believe that that is the place that God is calling us to walk in every area of our life. Because here's the thing, I know people today. Well, some of those people are gone, but I know people that walked this earth, that I know people that walked, that had medical conditions in their body that said it was impossible for them to walk. And if they were to go and get an x-ray, the x-ray would show that that condition was there, and yet they were walking because they believed the truth that they were healed. Now, somebody might say, well, they didn't get healed. What difference does it make if you have cancer in your body and it doesn't affect you and it's not killing you and you're able to continue on and walk and do the things of God? Who cares what the lie says about what's going on inside of you? See, we got a word from the Lord that says, don't listen to the symptoms. Says, don't listen to the lies of what the enemy's trying to do in your body, but trust God and His Word. Put His Word in your mouth. I'm not going to read those things tonight because you know what? There's a reason that all of those things are made available to all of us. And I'm not saying it judgmentally. I'm just saying those things are all available and we need to be putting it into our life on a regular basis. There's a reason there's a website at daveroberson.org that you can go to and get every single word that the Lord has ever spoken in this place. And it's time for all of us to grow up and say, okay, I know I can find it there and put it into my life. Nothing wrong with reading it here, but it's got to be a part of our daily walk and our daily life, or else we're not really walking in the truth that He's given us to walk in. When we come here on Sunday night and we speak these confessions out, we're doing that to build us up and to change us, not to change God. God's already got it decided. It's already done, and it's our job to walk in the truth of what we're saying, where it doesn't just become a word spoken out of our mouth, but it becomes the life that we live on a daily basis, that Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. And we begin to do, our actions should line up with the fact that we know, with the truth, that we know that Jesus is Lord. Our actions should line up with the fact that we know that Tulsa is in revival. We don't have to be discussing the crime that's going on in our neighborhood in a way that it is greater than the truth that Jesus is Lord. I'm not saying you can't talk about those things. I'm saying that the truth needs to and does supersede those facts of what's happening in our life and in our world and what's happening around us. But we have to allow that to be true on the inside of us. It has to be more than words spoken out of our mouth. We need to allow the Holy Ghost to reveal it to us as a revelation of His truth in our life. Because if you've been here, which most people in here have been here for quite a while, speaking these words over and over again, it can become a repetitious thing that we do just because we feel it's a duty to do. It's Sunday night. We need to be at church. We need to be confessing. And that's a good discipline, but it has to become more than just a good discipline. It should be a part of how we expect our life to be. We expect it to be revival. And we're painting a picture of what that is with our confessions. We're painting a picture of what revival looks like. And it's supposed to paint a picture not just on Sunday night, but in our life and in our heart, to where this is what we expect. Whenever we come into the prayer center, we ought to have an expectation that people are going to get out of wheelchairs. Say, where's the wheelchairs? You know, and I'm not saying that they should be here. I'm just saying every week we ought to wonder, where are they? Are they coming this week? Are they coming this morning? Are they going to be here tomorrow? When are they getting up? Now, not in a sometimes I feel like I have to explain things that maybe I don't have to explain, but we're not asking these things in a place of when is it going to happen or where are they, but in an expectation of, is today the day? Or more like, today is the day. So, well, let's expect it to happen today. There's no disappointment, because it's there anyway. So why would we're not disappointed when we don't see it, because we already know that we're there. But yet there's still an anticipation. It's like a pregnant woman. You're wondering, when is this going to come? Is today the day? And you're excited. But when it doesn't happen that day, you don't go, well, I guess I'm not going to have a baby. You know, you realize it's still coming, right? You realize that, hey, I'm pregnant. There's no other choice for this child. If nature has its course, this child is going to be born. There's nothing the mother, the father, anyone else can do but, you know, offer some help, boil some water. I don't know. But there's not anything that we aren't able to keep it from coming. And we have the word that it's too late. It's far too late. Revival is on its way. The pregnancy is coming to full term, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. So it's time we have to allow it to be a part of our life because it's coming. You know, when this baby's going to be here, you don't want a baby to be born without a crib and without a place for it to rest, without a nursery and toys, and you don't want a child to come unprepared, but you know ahead of time, and just like we know ahead of time, this revival is here, and we have had a responsibility to be prepared. So I'm not saying that you are or you aren't, but if you're not, it's imminent that we make this a part of our life and that we learn how to transition. If you haven't transitioned yet, we have to learn how to transition into a place of revival where our expectation is revival. You know, there shouldn't be any other expectation. Every service, the glory of the Lord is here. Every service, His presence fills this place. Every person that's sick walks away healed. So, I mean, we should never expect anything less. We can't lower the bar. We can't lower the standard. And the thing is, whether you see it, you don't see it, it's happening, it's not happening, all of these questions that go on is the same thing that happens in your body when you have sickness and you have symptoms and you have things going on and your body is saying, you can't do this. Maybe, you know, for those that have those types of conditions, your body's saying you can't walk. And you get up and you walk anyway because you're not listening to the facts, you're listening to the truth that says, I'm healed. The truth that says I'm in revival. The truth that says Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. You might say, well, you know, the service wasn't so great today. Well, you better not allow that thought to take root into your heart. You say, thank God. Well, isn't it wonderful that God is present in every service at the prayer center? Isn't it wonderful? I would encourage you. Somebody wants to come and tell you something negative about this church. You say, isn't it wonderful? The presence of God is there. Isn't it wonderful that when the sick come, they're healed? The blind see, the lame walk. Isn't it wonderful that the deaf hear? Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. Because see, we all have the opportunity to be distracted by what's happening around us. So I believe the question the Lord is asking tonight, this is what was in my spirit, is, you know, do you believe? Maybe a better way to say that is, what do you believe? Because, you know, we all believe something. And, you know, those in unbelief believe something. I don't know if you've ever talked to a person who's sick or has someone sick in their family. There was a lady that went to my church when I was a pastor, and she had cancer. Just before I took over the pastorship there, she was in the hospital, and she'd been diagnosed with cancer for many years, and we've tried to talk to her and teach her about the truth of God's word, but see, she already believed that she was going to die. So much so that she had taken the facts of what this cancer does to you, and she had it all mapped out, and she knew when this happened, then this was going to happen, and then that was going to happen, and then that was going to happen. And we tried to explain to her that, you know, you don't have to go down that road. But she knows the Lord, she's in heaven, but she died. And the reason, in my opinion, at least a contributing factor that she died is because she put her faith in what science had told her. And, you know, she did pretty well with it because she knew that when this was going to happen, she needed to do this to take care of it. And she functioned quite well under that. Why? Because that's where her faith was. And she believed that if she took these medicines, this would help her. And you know, but there was no belief when it came to the supernatural, the things of God. So you could say, yes, she was in unbelief, but the reason she's in unbelief is because her belief was stuck somewhere else. And I believe that's what happens with us as believers. You believe something, and you're going to follow that which you have sowed into your life. You know, the Bible tells us if you sow into the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life from the Spirit, right? And so whatever we allow into our life to plant those seeds of what we're going to believe in, those seeds of belief, if you will, that's the direction that we end up going. And that's really why we're here tonight. That's why we're speaking these truths, is so, to plant those seeds and continue to water those seeds of faith, belief, and see God do something awesome in our life. I'm going to give you one scripture, and then we'll see what the Lord does. But hallelujah. Did I give you a scripture? Good. Because it's not the one I was thinking. We're going to go to Matthew. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to be Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So Jesus is asking a simple question. Who do you say that I am? And I believe that he's saying the same thing today. He's asking the church, who do you say that I am? I still believe there are some that are looking at what everyone else is saying. Well, this preacher says, you're the healer. This preacher says you don't heal anymore. This, you know, who? But he says, who do you say that I am? And Jesus was making it personal. And this is where we are today. God is making this a personal journey for each one of us. Who is Jesus to you? And of course, we know Peter had the great revelation, and Jesus commended him, and he said, "Look, you didn't figure this out on your own, Peter. It wasn't your great smarts. It wasn't what all the people around you said. You didn't have to go ask someone. But my Father revealed this to you." And the thing is, even in the church, we can become so prideful that we miss what the Lord is saying. Because we feel like we need to know and we have to have the answer. We need to make something out of this. And so you have some of the church that took this revelation and now they're making it about Peter when it was about the revelation that God had given. And God wants us, the one thing that he wants us to have is a revelation of who he is and how we can know him. When Paul prayed in Ephesians, he said, I pray the God of glory give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him, or into how to know Him. It's always been about Him and you. It's always been about that. Jesus, from the very beginning, the foundation of the church was the question, who do you say that I am? What is the revelation that God has given you personally about me? What is He saying? What is He doing? And the revelation, of course, we know was who Jesus was. And He said that the gates of hell would not prevail against this. In Oklahoma, there's a lot of gates. If you go out into the country, there's a lot of cattle. There's a lot of cattle farms and gates that hold the cattle in and all of this. But, you know, when I thought about that, what's so intimidating about a gate? You know, what can a gate do to me? What authority does a gate have? Well, it actually does have some authority, but there's nothing offensive. There's nothing, you know, it's not a weapon per se for the most part. But it's a defense that's put up to either keep something in or keep something out. And I believe that we need to have a revelation of who Jesus is over Tulsa. What is happening in our church? We need a revelation of the vision that God has given us as a church and as a congregation, that we join together and stand and we allow that revelation to have its place in us, because there's going to be gates. Jesus wouldn't say the gates wouldn't prevail if there weren't any gates. He wouldn't have told us that. He doesn't speak idle words. If God said it, there's a reason that it's there. And there's always going to be a gate that says, you can go no further, this far, but no more. I hadn't thought about this in forever. Pastor Dave talked about a door. Heavily guarded door. The gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. And as we stand together with the revelation of what God has given us, that door has no choice but to open. That gate cannot stand. This is not a time to stand by and watch. This is not a time to let others do the work that I have given unto you. This is not a time to wait and see what will happen to those who have done what I have asked them to do. But this is a time for you as an individual to come in to me, to shut the door, and to allow me to bring you to a higher place. For yes, I'm coming. I'm coming on a corporate level like has not been seen in many generations. But now is a time that I'm extending my grace to you, that you could come and prepare yourself and receive from me, for I desire to invite you into a higher place. I've invited in times past, and still there's been some who have held back. There have been some who have said, no, this is more important in my life. But now I am reaching out by my Spirit and I'm giving you a chance, an opportunity. And I'm saying, now, come. Come unto me. Come and receive from me, for I desire the intimate place with you. For there are some that you've built up walls of defenses. You've held me at bay. But I say now is a time. And the time is short that you can receive of me. And I will change much of what you have perceived in the past. If you will allow me, I will reach in and I'll remove the lies that have been told and spoken over you. And yes, for some, there have been hurts and wounds of the past. You've said, if I do this, I don't know what will happen. But I say that if you will take the step of faith and allow me into those secret places, I will pour out my love in a way that you haven't received in times past. And you will be made whole, be made new. For I desire to bring a healing on an individual level, in an intimate place with those who desire my grace, those who are willing to give up all of your abilities to make things better. And let me once and for all come in and change that for you. He said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, la marandro cosa c'era. Okay, I hear him say this. Okay. Let's just take a moment. Allow him to minister to us. He said he wants to do this. He wants to do it individually. He don't need anyone to lay hands on you. He doesn't want anyone to lay hands on you tonight. He wants you to receive. He wants us as his children to be intimate with him. He wants to do a work. He wants to heal places that man can't heal, the doctors can't heal, that science can't touch. He wants to heal the places of the heart that may not even know have been hurt or scarred. But right now, by his Spirit, Lord, we just trust you. Move in this place. Let's receive. Lord, we receive from you. Lord, I receive from you. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Heal your people. Heal your people. Touch us tonight, Lord God. Touch us tonight, Jesus. Tora si tramasoko turubosanda. Hey, di andorokuanda rabatandara. Hey, did he underrocut le marastangela? Randele marasi le morundele mandiandostangi. Hey, taracotandarasa jala. Hallelujah. Just a few moments. We needn't be in a hurry. Sometimes it feels awkward when there's silence in church, but I'm telling you, God is doing something here tonight. Touch us, Holy Ghost. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I'm asking him, I don't think he wants anything else from me. We'll do the confessions. I don't even have a confession sheet. Hallelujah. In just a moment, we'll do this, but I'm going to make sure he's done. I believe he is. You know, three times this has come up in my memory, and I can't just ignore it. Years ago, I remember when Pastor Dave would minister, and he would say oftentimes, is there anyone with pain in your body? I want you to stand up anywhere in the place. And some people would stand up, and he'd give a little bit of time, and then he would say, you know, the only reason you're not standing if you have pain in your body is because you don't believe anything's going to happen. I'm not asking you to stand for pain tonight. That's not my point. My point is this. God is doing a work. He's ministering to many people here tonight. He didn't really give an instruction of that manner. But I would encourage you as he does. Okay, yeah. There's a lot of instructions he has given us that we don't really know who's doing and who's not doing. It's between you and the Holy Ghost. He's told us to spend time in prayer. He's told us to fast. He's told us to spend time in his word. And I would say this to you. If you're not doing that, the only reason is because you don't really believe it's going to make a difference. So I want to encourage you. Especially now, in this time, in this season. I don't know what season it is. I don't know how long it is. I don't know exactly how to explain it other than now we have an opportunity to prove him and to see that he is who he says he is. And I don't know who's going to hear this or not hear this or whatever, but I just really want to charge you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. This church is open 2 days a week at what, 10-hour stretches, I guess, from noon to 10. And if that's the only time you pray, then they surely don't neglect that. I hope it's not the only time you have to pray. But if it is, come. Whether it is or it isn't, come if you can. That's been made available to you. Take time in your home. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, don't allow the things of the world to distract you from what God is telling us to do. Believe that I know that he's serious when he speaks. He doesn't speak vain words. He doesn't speak for no reason. He has an agenda and he wants us to be a part of it. And just like in our body, when the pain is saying you're not healed, when the symptoms are saying you have this or that, those facts that are going on, those same lies come to us with praying isn't doing any good. You don't have time right now to read your word. You don't. This isn't the best time to fast. You need to be eating, whatever it might be. And it's an opportunity to stand fast. It's an opportunity to press in and to obey and to walk by faith and not by sight. And to prove to the enemy that we're serious about what we're doing and that we're going to see this through. As Gary told us this morning, you know, a good soldier will salute smartly and charge the hill. And we have to be willing and obedient and walk after the things of the Spirit and not be distracted by the things of the flesh. Amen. All right. So we're going to do our confessions. If you have to leave now, That's fine. We'll do our confessions and continue on with calling in the lost. Hallelujah.